When you think about ministry, it's really hard. Think about it. It's hard to be faithful day in and day out to serve. And sometimes when you're serving, things go good. And then sometimes things don't always go good. Even when you're doing the right thing at the right time in the right ministry, things are hard. We all know people who are in ministry and all of a sudden they'll stop and they'll say, well, I was teaching this class, but I don't want to teach anymore. Or they'll say, I was helping over here, but I don't want to help anymore. And sometimes we say, why do people who are serving, why do they stop serving? I think sometimes it goes back to the fact that they're serving in an area in which they're not gifted. So we want to talk about that. They're not using their spiritual gifts. They're not serving in the area that they're gifted. And so they become frustrated and oftentimes burn out. If a person doesn't have the gift of teaching, let's say it that way, and they're teaching a Sunday school class week after week after week, eventually they're going to get to a point, since it's not their giftedness, they're going to say, I don't even like to do this. I don't know why I even said I was going to do it, and I'm going to quit. And some people say, well, why, you can't quit. Well, the problem is they're not serving in the area where they're gifted. So we started last week and we started talking about the Holy Spirit giving spiritual gifts. And I'm going to review just briefly for you. And we're going to talk about spiritual gifts and how they fit and even how to know what your gifts are and those kind of things. So let's get a kind of a little review. And we started with what are spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are divine abilities, abilities to minister to others, graciously given by the Holy Spirit to a believer. So we have to understand that every one of us in this room, we'll talk more about it in a second, you have spiritual gift, a gift or gifts given to you by the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. And it's an ability to serve within the body of Christ. Now, if you have like the gift of teaching, or the gift of helps, or the gift of something, whatever they are, it doesn't mean the moment all of a sudden you say, oh, I got the gift of teaching, I can automatically just teach. Well, you've got to study. You've got to put things together. You developed your gift as time goes by. But it is an ability that God has given you to do. Let's talk about the giving of the gifts. When do we get the gifts? Who gets the gifts and who gives the gifts? Well, bottom line, spiritual gifts are given at the moment of salvation. We talked about that. We said that the moment a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ, you remember, he baptizes them, places them in Christ, he regenerates them, he gives them spiritual gifts. That all happens at the moment of salvation. So every believer, any believer, the moment you believe, you have a gift. Now let's think about it. What if you believe when you're 8 years old and God has given you that moment the gift of teaching? Do you think right then at 8 years old, you're going to be the teacher? No, it takes time. You've got to mature and grow, and then you've got to develop the gifts. And that's how that functions. Sometimes people are 25 years old. They trust Christ as Savior. Maybe they've got the gift of teaching or help or ministration or something. And it's not very long after that God can start using them almost immediately. It's just according to the situation. But gifts are given at the moment of salvation. Who gets the gifts? Every believer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God gives the spiritual gifts to every person. Look down at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So believers get spiritual gifts. Now, let me show you something. We talked about this last time. Every believer has at least one gift. So every one of us in this room, we got at least one spiritual gift. Okay? Number two, that you may have more than one spiritual gift. You may have more. I mean, when you think about Paul's life, Paul was a prophet. He was an apostle. He was a teacher. He may have been a pastor teacher. He definitely had the gift of administration. He had the gift of tongues. He had the gift of interpretation of tongues. I mean, he had all kind of different spiritual gifts when you look at Paul's life. Okay? Third is, you will not have all the gifts. That's why we place this in the body of Christ, because everybody's got different gifts, talents, and abilities, and so we all fit together to serve together. So no person would have all the spiritual gifts, then you wouldn't need anybody else. Okay? Then the gifts are necessary for the body to function. Most people don't realize this, but for our church to function day in and day out, week in and week out, it comes about by each one of you using your spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. That's how it works. That's how it functions. The church doesn't function because I'm the pastor. It doesn't function that way. It doesn't function because we have a staff. It doesn't function that way. It functions when you do the ministry. That's how the church functions. And you cannot lose your gifts. By the way, Romans 11:29 says the gifts and the calling of God are without a change of mind. When God gives spiritual gifts through the Holy Spirit, you can't lose your gift. I've had a person ask me, what about if a person say they have the gift of helps, but they don't ever serve. They just say, I'm not doing anything. Do they lose that gift? They don't lose their gift because the gift and calling of God are without change of mind. So you don't lose your gifts, but if you don't exercise your gifts, He may not put you in positions where you can serve or where you can be used. So we want to be faithful in all of those things, okay? The third aspect is who gives the spiritual gifts. All members of the body, all members of the Godhead give the gifts. But the emphasis, especially in 1 Corinthians, is on the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 again says, but one and the same Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, works all these things, talking about giving out the gifts, distributing, giving out to each one individually, giving the gifts to each one, just as He wills. The Holy Spirit actually decides what gift or gifts that you get. So the moment you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, decided which gift or gifts that you have. He knew He places you in the body of Christ, and He gives you so that you can serve. Now, we get to some new stuff, because we talked about this last time, but here we go, some new things, and that the purpose of spiritual gifts. Why did God give spiritual gifts? We've already seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that it was for the common good of the body. So let's talk about it. It's to accomplish the ministry, it's to equip the believers to serve, and it's to glorify God. That's why every one of us in this room have spiritual gifts. Let's talk about it a little bit. To accomplish ministry, how is God going to bring about the ministry for this local body or for the ministry of the body of Christ in this community and throughout the world? How does He accomplish His ministry? How does He do it? He uses what? What does He use? Us. He uses us that He's gifted. So He's going to bring about His plan, and He uses people, and the people are the instruments to accomplish His goal. Let me ask you a question. Who tells people about Jesus Christ so they can trust in Christ as Savior? We do. Who equips believers to do ministry? We do. The whole ministry is done by us. So it's to accomplish the ministry. The second thing is to equip the believers so that we can serve. Gifts are given so we believers can minister within the body of Christ. Think about this. If you're not serving within the body of Christ, touching lives, helping the body grow, then you're not using your gifts. That's why you're here. The gifts are for that way. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Again, it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For what reason? For the what? Common good. This is for the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts are given to equip the believers to do ministry. I love this verse. It's 1 Peter 4:10. It says, employ the gifts. Here's what the verse says. As each one has received. Now, by the way, the word special there, I even put it up here, is in italics. This is the New American Standard. The word special is not there. It literally says, as each one has received a gift, every one of us received at least one gift, employ it, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He actually says every one of us are to take the gift or gifts that you have, and you're to use that to serve one another, to build up the body of Christ. That's why the Ephesians passage, Ephesians 4:12, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for the building up the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 4:12 and 13. We're to use our spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ, to help us grow and mature and serve. That's what the whole thing is about. That's why he says it. I've got these verses here, 1 Corinthians 12, which basically says there are a lot of different members, but there's one body and every one of them are necessary. And if you read those verses, it'll say something like this. The foot can't say, well, I'm not an eye. If I'm not an eye, I'm not going to help. And the eye can't say, well, if I'm not an ear, or if the ear can't say, if I'm not an eye, I'm not going to help. And the bottom line is every part of the body is vital for the body to function. I have a place right here that it's like a trigger finger type thing, and it's so sore that it's hard for me to even like undo a can. Like if I could bring it down, that hurts so bad. Okay, that's a little bitty place right there. That affects a lot of things. Like I'll go, ow, and that's hurting, but it affects the whole body, right? Well, when you're not serving, you're one of those places there, and you're not working, and the thing's not working, and your body is saying, listen, this is not working right. And what happens in the body of Christ is we all are there and everyone is necessary. Every believer is necessary. Now, I think many, many Christians do not believe that they are necessary for the body to function or they would serve. There are Christians who go their entire life and they never serve within the body of Christ. They never do anything. They come on Sunday morning, they sit in the back, they nod and leave. And they think, I mean, for some reason, people have taught them that you serve God by coming to church. You don't serve God by coming to church. You serve God as you're trained and equipped, and then you use your gifts, talents, and abilities to touch lives for Christ. When we gather on Sunday morning, it's to worship Jesus Christ and to be trained and equipped to serve him. Now, some people, when you come to church on a Sunday morning, you are serving because you've got different ministries and things that you do. So whatever your gifts are, we have to have each other. And then in verses, basically 25, 26, 27, he says, if one member suffers, everybody suffers. If one person's not doing what they're supposed to do, it affects the whole body. So if you ever realized how valuable you are in this body, how valuable you are. I tell you what you ought to do. Sometimes take a list. Go and say, I like a list of the people who are part of this church. And start going down the list, and you're amazed at how many of these names are plugged in. They're doing something. You say, oh, that person, well, they work with the youth. Oh, they do this. They greet on the front door. They do that. They cut the grass. And you just start going down the line. How many people in this body serve? Do you realize how many people it takes on a Sunday morning for the church to function just on a Sunday morning? How many people are in the nursery? How many do they need on a Sunday morning for the nursery? Can anybody know? Sarah, do you know how many does it take? 30 or 40? Brandy, how many does it take on a Sunday morning just to do the nursery? How many? 19. And that's not counting you, right? Or it is counting you, and you're the boss, and you tell everybody what to do and run them all. Yeah, okay. But see, think about that. Just for the nursery, it's 19 people. We're not talking about Sunday school. We're not talking about grow groups. We're not talking about greeters. We're not talking about welcome center. We're not talking about people at the doors. We're not talking about any of that. We're not talking about picking up people in the parking lot. We're not talking about anything. We're not talking about who puts out the signs. We're not talking about who unlocks the building. We're not talking about any of that stuff yet. How many? That's just on the Sunday morning. What about during the week? What about all the ministry that goes on when we scatter? Remember, we gather for worship and training, and we scatter for evangelism and ministry. Most of our ministry is not done when we're gathering. So you are vital. You are vital for this to function. Okay, the third thing. We said that why do we have spiritual gifts? To accomplish the ministry, to equip the believers to serve. And the last one is to glorify God. 1 Peter 4:11 says, so that God would be glorified through the body as we use our gifts. God gets the glory when you serve. Think about that. That's why when you stand before Jesus Christ, what do you want to hear him say? Well done, good and faithful what? Servant. If you're not going to use your gifts, he's not going to say that to you. If you're not plugged in and using the spiritual gifts that God's given you and touching lives for Christ, he's not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's just going to break our hearts. And so the bottom line is that we just want to be faithful. So here's the thing. So he gave us spiritual gifts to accomplish his ministry so that we can be equipped to serve and so that God is glorified. Now, what about gifts? How do we know what our gifts are? I'm going to go through this. I have to go through fast because we don't have a lot of time left. How do we know what our gifts are? Okay, how do you know? I used to say it doesn't matter what your gifts are. It doesn't matter if you even know what your gifts are. Just serve. Well, that's true. At this stage, if you said, well, I don't even know what my gift is, I said, well, just find a place that you're interested in and plug in. And what'll happen as time goes by, you'll say, that's not for me. And you'll say, that is for me. But I also now realize that it is vital that if you do know your gifts, so you can plug in and serve so you won't burn out. Because if you're serving where you're not gifted, you will eventually burn out. That's why people all the time say, oh, I was doing that. I did the youth for like 2 years, and I just got to the point where I can't do that anymore. I can't teach that class anymore. I can't do that anymore. That's because that's not their area of giftedness. If you are serving in your area of giftedness, you do not want to stop. because you get the blessing from it, from doing it. So let me give you a little warning when people start saying, how do I discover my gifts? Well, first, there's a warning that says, first of all, sometimes people get so sidetracked on trying to figure out what their gifts are, they don't ever do anything. Okay? The second thing is, sometimes believers will only serve in their spiritual gifts. It's like this. Let's say that the person says they have the gift of teaching. And you say to that person, hey, we need to move a bunch of chairs. And they go, I'm sorry, my gift is teaching. Right? Okay? Well, sometimes, I mean, that happens sometimes. I've had people say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't really help in that. I'm not gifted in that area. I say, get out here and help us, you know? Okay, so that's a little warning. And let me just say this. When you talk about why the body doesn't function any better than it does, because when you look at the church overall, not just necessarily our church, but the church is the body of Christ, I think it goes back to inactive members who are not using their gifts are misplaced members who are not doing their gifts. In other words, they may be serving, but they're serving where they're not gifted. And so you want to say, what are my gifts? How can I plug in? How can I be used? And so let me give you an idea. Here's sort of a little, how do you know what your gifts are? I think there's three things that help. And this is not the answer to everything, but I think this helps. Number one, you have a desire to do the gift. You have a desire to do it. If it's teaching, you're going to teach. If it's helps, it helps. If it's administration, it's administration. If it's a gift of mercy, mercy. If it's giving, giving. You want to do it. You say, I'd love to do that. Oh, I'd love to do that. Let me do this. And when you start doing it, you go, well, I'd love to do this. So you have desire to do the gift. There will be results when you're doing things, whether you're teaching or you're helping. People go, thank you for doing that. That is so wonderful. Or you'll say, somebody will something, and they'll come up and go, thank you so much. That really helped a lot. If you're a teacher, somebody will come up and say, that's the first time I've ever understood that. And so there will be results. It'll be effective. And then last, other people will see it. People will come up to you and they say, you know, I think you got the gift of helps because you're always there. You're always helping. Or somebody might come up and say, I think you had the gift of administration or leadership because, you know, you just helped put that whole thing together and you organized it and it just flowed so well. And somebody else will say, I think you got the gift of giving because I never seen anybody like you. You anytime you know there's a need, you're just going to meet it and those kind of things. So what you'll do when you're trying to discover your gift, number one, you're going to want to do it. You're going to be effective, and other people will recognize that. Okay, now let's talk. We got just a few minutes. Let's look at spiritual gifts, and I'm going to have to go really fast on this. There's two ways to look at spiritual gifts, okay? What we call temporary gifts and permanent gifts. Temporary gifts were gifts that were given at the beginning of the church until the canon of Scripture was completed. They were what we call sign and foundational gifts. You find this in different parts of the Bible. Ephesians talked about the foundational gifts of apostles and prophets. They were the foundation of the church. Until you had the canon of the Scripture, there were certain gifts that were given to help authenticate the message, gift of like tongues and prophecy and those kind of things. We believe that when the canon was completed, those gifts ended, and now there are some permanent gifts. When we ask people to do the spiritual gift inventory, we have 9 permanent gifts that we think are gifts that are within the body of Christ. And there they are. Let me just show that. We're just going to talk about them really briefly. And you probably have one of these gifts. Now there may be other gifts. There's some, we talked about this before. Are there gifts that people have that maybe aren't listed in the Scripture? Because there's 18 gifts listed in the Scripture. 9 of them were the temporary gifts and 9 of them are the permanent gifts. Question is, could there be more gifts that just weren't listed in the Scripture that people might have? There may be. I just don't know. All I know is I know these gifts are there, and these are permanent gifts that you see throughout the Scripture. Let me quickly remind you what they are. The word evangelist, of course, is a person who has a desire to share their faith. They have the gift of evangelism. They're not afraid to share their faith. They're always clear. They seem to be very effective, and they're always talking about somebody that they led to Christ. You may or may not have that gift. We all are supposed to do the work of an evangelist, whether we have that gift or not. Okay, the gift of pastor teacher. That's the gift of a person who is shepherds the flock, does the public teaching. I think I have the gift of pastor teaching, because I want to shepherd the flock and I want to teach the Bible and I get to do it. And so that's a pastor teacher. That's different than the office. Like the person may have an office of an elder, but or somebody may be the pastor of the church. But there are people who are pastors of the church who don't have the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. And so you may have been in churches where when the guy gets up, everybody goes, boy, I hope it's short today, you know, because he just doesn't have the gift. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just the way it is. And then there's service and help. So let me tell you, that's the person that they're there. They want to be there. They show up early. Chairs need to be set up. Something needs to be done. They're always the ones doing it. They have to get the help. So you can serve in any ministry. And I think many Christians have the gift of helps, because I think that's one of the key gifts in the whole body, because you're able to do anything. See, only a few people can teach, but almost everybody can help. And so if you have the gift of helps, which probably most of you do, many of you do. And then there's the gift of teaching, which is a person who loves to study the Bible, put it together, teach it. That's different than pastor teacher. They're two different gifts. But the gift of teaching is a person who loves to teach and usually is very good at communicating. Exhortation is the gift of encouragement, but it is also the gift that points out when people are wrong. It's a dual side to it. It's building up, but it's also saying, you know, that's wrong. It's called the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving. Most of y'all know what that is. That's the desire and ability to give of possessions, to give materially. There are some people that God has blessed in that way. We're not necessarily talking about amount of money or amount of things. It's just a person who has that heart that when they know there's a need, they just want to meet that need. That's the gift of giving. Gift of administration is a person that has the ability to organize and oversee ministries and projects and events and bring them to completion. And they run things and they say, oh, I'll help do this, and they'll get this set up, or they'll say this and this and this. And that's the gift of administration. The gift of mercy is a person that desires to help the helpless. They do things with cheerfulness that a lot of other people would not do. And like you and I might go, ugh, and they go, I'll go right there. And that's what the gift of mercy is. And then last but not least is the gift of faith. And it's a little bit hard to describe, because it's a person that actually, they just believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And sometimes, you know, we'll go, I just don't know if we're going to make it. And they go, oh, sure, we're going to make it. Sure, we're going to make it. We're going to do it. Don't worry. We're going to do it. And you got to have people with all of these gifts. Okay, we're out of time, so here's what I want to show you. Let's understand this application. Let's understand the purpose of gifts. Realize you are God's instrument to bring about his plan to accomplish his ministry. You're to equip other believers using your gifts, and the whole point is to glorify God. So that's understanding the purpose of gifts. Second is, let's be available to be used by God, to do the work, to be faithful. So what do you want to do? Use your gifts, whatever they are. And listen, if you don't know what your gifts are, you can come by the office. We've got a spiritual gift inventory. We can give you, they'll give you an idea of maybe where you're gifted. But one of the key things is just look for a place that you'd be interested in. You say, well, I'd kind of really like to help with that. And that's that. And then the last thing is, if you can't know your gifts, if you can know them, and that's, it's very important, because you can always serve in the area of giftedness.